It's good to see each of you here this morning. We're so glad that you've joined us, whether you're here in the service or out in the parking lot or listening later on the web. We're so glad that you're in the Lord's house joining us as we worship. The Bible says this is the day that the Lord hath made. We rejoice in it. Amen. And you know, when you get to be my age, every day I get up and say, hey, I can get out of bed. Hallelujah. I'm thinking about a couple of little ladies that when I was at Prospect, I think they were in their 80s, and one of them had a car that was held together by rust, and she'd go pick the other one up, and they'd go to the nursing home to visit the old folks. So we rejoice in the presence of the Lord. We're so glad that you're worshiping with us. May we pray. Lord, it's good to be in your house, to enjoy you, to enjoy one another, to fellowship and to love the Lord Jesus. And we thank you that you love us. We thank you for every person that's assembled here in this sanctuary. We thank you for every person that might be listening in the parking lot or those that are listening later on the web, anywhere in the world, really. And we just thank you, Father, that through the website we can make these services available to those who cannot be here in the sanctuary. But Lord, we thank you that you can be anywhere and everywhere that we are, that we can't go so high or so low, so far out that we can't get away from you, and that your love surrounds us. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to see you all this morning. It's good to have you here. If you're a visitor with us this morning, it's good to see you. Good to have you with us. Hey, yeah, Alan, good to see you, brother. Hey, man back there. You almost hid from me there, but it's good to see you, brother. Good to have you. It's good to have everyone with us today, Lord. And so, as usual, we want to do a hymn sing this morning, and I wanted to do that as we start off this morning. The song is Praise Him, Praise Him. And boy, I'll tell you what, we need to do a lot of that for him. That's what we're here to do today. So if you will, stand please. Let's sing all three verses of Praise Him, Praise Him. The words are available for you on the board.
Praise Him, praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Sing all earth His wonderful love proclaim. Hail Him, highest archangels in glory. Strength and honor give to His holy name. Like a shepherd, Jesus will guard His children. Blessed Redeemer, heavenly Port. prophet and priest and king. Christ is coming over the world victorious. Power and glory unto the Lord belong. Praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, ever in joyful song.
And the people said, Amen. Say good morning to someone before you start. It is indeed good to see you all again this morning. I've got some announcements for you today. But before I do that, there's something overdue that I need to do, and it's long overdue, and that is the fact that I need to thank Angie and the group that she works with to get for the decorations in this church. I'm telling you, is that not beautiful? I mean, just look around. It just didn't snap your fingers and make this happen. So I know it's a lot of work, and we appreciate it. And it goes down into the fellowship hall, too. The fellowship hall looks so good, I'm going to have to cook a meal. I mean, that's all there is to it. It's just that good down there. So be looking out. We've got one coming. So, but anyway, thanks a lot, Angie. God bless you. Beautiful job. Appreciate it. All right, and a way of announcements. Today, at the end of service, the pastor will be passing out the list of eligible men for the deacon election. Our deacon election will start next Sunday, and so therefore I need to make it official. We will have a call conference for next Sunday for the purpose of deacon election in our church. We will be electing two new deacons, and David Talley and McCord Barbie will be rotating off. So if you get a chance, say thank you to those two guys for the service that they've done for the last 3 years at this church, and we appreciate their hard work. David, don't be smiling so much. Tonight we'll have choir practice, and I thank God for our choir. We're getting started back again. We're still missing you. Some of you have not made it back up here yet, and we're missing you. And so just be expecting me. I'll be coming and talking to you about that. And so we need to have you here tonight at 6 for choir practice. Wednesday night, we do need you. That's right. So Wednesday night we'll have our prayer Bible study and prayer service here at the church. Be sure to come and be with us. And then next Sunday, as I said, we'll have a call conference there. And then next Sunday we'll also be having a visiting speaker. Our visiting speaker will be Reverend Darrell Honeycutt. He'll be here, and the reason for that is our pastor and Pamela will be away on some missions conference and over in Oklahoma, and we just want to wish you well and safety, and be praying for you very well. But they'll be away, so we'll be filling in as best we can, and Pastor will be here, Darrell Honeycutt. Homecoming will be August the 15th. Reverend Terry Burris will be here as our visiting speaker, and yes, they will be a covered dish to follow that. So we're going to be using this, Angie. We're going to get down there and do that. So y'all be here for that. Vacation Bible School. And Aaron, you may want to speak on this, but Vacation Bible School will be Saturday, August the 7th. And it will begin at 8:45 with a light breakfast. And we'll have lunch, and then somewhere around 1 or 2 o'clock for a dismiss. You want to speak to that at all? Do you plan on adult class?
Yes.
Okay. All right. We'll have an adult class. So, Pastor, we'll ask him to teach the adult class. Would that be all right? Would be.
He said.
Okay. Oh, you got to sign up. So if you don't sign up, yeah, you see, it's like this. You don't sign up, I'll have to. So don't do. Yeah. Okay. All right. It'll be the pastor and me one. We'll do it. We'll be there. So, Aaron, we'll sign up and take you. Yeah, we will. We'll see. It'll be taken care of. So by saying that, be sure you adults know we will have an adult class for that as well. Okay? Are there any other announcements that I may have overlooked for any reason? Okay. Let's go now to our prayer list. I have several that has been that have already been given to me, and we need to continue to remember Angela Frick. Her condition is serious, and we don't understand the entire problem yet, but we just know that her condition is serious, and we need to pray for her. A lot of tests are being made. The results have not been known yet, so let's keep praying for Angela today. Let's remember the Roscoe Hatley family. I tell you, he was a dear friend to this community for many, many years, and so let's remember the Roscoe Hatley family. Bob Wilson family, Paul Smith family, a lot of deaths that have taken place here. And I'm praised for Emily Snyder, and her surgery was successful, and God blessed through all of that, and that's wonderful. And again, we've mentioned this already, but remember Pastor Ed and Pamela for Traveling Mercy as they leave Wednesday, and I guess you'll be gone, what, about 10 days, somewhere along in there? So we'll miss you a lot, but y'all just take care. Take care. Let's continue to remember Neil Jackman. Neil is at home and rehabbing at home, and Kathy, I guess you're the head caregiver.
I have a wonderful sister, so it's about 50-50.
Yeah, and Robert probably is right in there too, knowing. Yeah. So,
she's mama's her mama, and the other day she's mine. So. Okay. I do want to address that real quick. Will y'all please pray that Mama overcomes her spirit of fear? She is so scared of falling again that sometimes she's afraid to try. And if we can just get over that fear, because she'll do really, really well, and then she'll have a little small setback, and she'll get scared again. So if y'all can just pray that fear will leave her, and that she can be a little more trusting of us around her, that would be so, so helpful.
Amen. Okay. Let's remember the Linda Gale family, and also let's remember Janice Williams. Janice has had some oral surgery, and she says she can't quite talk as loud as she'd like to, and Bobby is back there just smiling. And but it is serious when you can't speak as well you like to speak, and so let's pray for Janice that God will touch her body and give her healing. Are there others that I need to remember? I'm sorry? Oh, McCord. Yes, McCord. His surgery is coming up. I had your name down here, McCord. McCord, his surgery is coming up the 28th. So let's keep McCord in our prayer.
And Leonard, I do have additions.
Yes.
I added our guidance counselor's husband, Jimmy Breslin.
Jimmy.
I added him already. He had a stroke last week. They think it's due to blood clots from having COVID earlier in the year. He is making progress, but very, very little, so pray for that family.
And okay.
Then, the family of Lonnie Boss, I added him as well. He is a friend of my brother-in-law, Ricky's.
Lonnie Boss?
Boss, yeah.
Okay. Okay, are there others? Yes.
Praise the Lord for Jess' mom.
Yes.
Her
wonderful. Okay, Carol. Diane. Okay. Okay. Others? Yes, go ahead. Wonderful news. That's what we love to hear. Are there others? Yes, sir. Okay. Okay. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you again, Lord, for this day. We thank you for a time that we can come together, a time that we can come together in worship. And Lord, as our Sunday school lesson reminded us of this morning, we're all in the family of God. It is so good to know, Lord, that we're all family. And it's so good to know that we all have the blessings that you want to give us each and every day. And this, for those blessings, Lord, I thank you today. I thank you for the blessings so undeserved. I thank you for the blessings and the praise reports that we've heard already this morning. But Lord, I do thank you, Lord, and continue to thank you for your blessings. And I pray now, Lord, that we have several on our list today, Lord, that we need to mention specifically, Lord, for that are need that need prayer and need touch from you. We continue to pray for Angela Frick, Lord, this morning. We lift her up to you. And Lord, the Lowe's of lost loved ones, the Roscoe Hatley family, the Bob Wilson family, the Paul Smith family. We pray for the families that, Lord, have lost their loved ones, and we ask for your comfort for them. We praise reports that we've heard today, Lord. We lift them up to you and say thank you, Lord, for all of that you've done for us. We ask a special blessing upon Pastor Ed and Pamela as they will be traveling to Oklahoma. We pray for traveling mercy. And then, Lord, we pray, Lord, that they will be renewed spiritually, and Lord, that they will be able to worship there and have a wonderful time together at the mission conference. And then, Lord, we pray for Nell Jackman this morning. We lift her up to you, Lord, and we ask, Lord, that you would help her with fear and give her confidence to know that she can walk. We pray for her. Then the Linda Gale family, we pray for that family. And then there's Janice, Lord. We pray for Janice Williams as she's the oral surgery. We pray, Lord, that you will heal her and give her healing, that she may talk and be again. And then the Jimmy Bredlin family, we pray for them. And all the other ones that were mentioned in the praise reports from McCord, we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for many, many blessings. But, Lord, we pray for McCord as he goes forward for his surgery on the 28th. We ask a special blessing upon him that you would guide the surgeon's hand. And, Lord, his eyesight would be restored. It be your precious will. Now go with us now, Lord, in the rest of this service today, Lord. And we pray for Pastor Ed, who will be coming for us. And we thank you for our choir, that the choir is back singing again. And we thank you for them. And we pray a special blessing upon us all. And, Lord, these many blessings we ask. And we know, Lord, where our strength comes from. And we come from you to the family of God. And these blessings I pray in your holy name. Amen. It is so good to be able to tell you that the choir is going to sing. You know, COVID, it took a lot of things from us. And one of the things it took away from us is the closeness of it all that we share. And so we do that. You okay? I thought we'd lost one of them. Bless her. You're still playing. She's playing hurt. A lot of people wouldn't do that. A lot of people sit right out there. She's right up here, and I thank you for that. Thank you for that, Pam. But we're going to sing a song that I love to sing. It's a beautiful song. It says, "It will be worth it all." And now, everything you're going through today, there'll be a come day when it'll be worth it, everything you've ever gone through. God bless us.
Hope more of you will come on up and join the choir.
Amen.
Now, if your voice is like mine and you carry tunes like I do, we don't have enough buckets, but the rest of you, come right on.
I've never heard
you
sing. I've been
to sing. You know, there's a delightful, wonderful, encouraging little verse in the Old Testament. And it seemed like in the last 20 years, I've seen that verse in devotional books, Christian novels, inspirational cards, bumper stickers, refrigerator magnets, and everywhere else. And when I start to read it, you'll probably recognize it from something that you've seen or heard. And, you know, when people are down in the dumps, a lot of times this verse really blesses them. And it's Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. If you want to look it up. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. Now that's the King James Version. Most of the time on the cards or other things, you will see a different version. And so the Living Bible says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." The New International Version says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." Now, you know, those verses are encouraging. That verse is encouraging. When you're hurting, when you're low, when you're... things aren't going well in your life, it's encouraging to think there's God. God's all powerful. God's all knowing. God loves me. God cares. God knows me individually, not just as a collective group. God knows me individually. And those of you that were in the Sunday school class, and my wife was finishing up teaching about putting the stones together in the temple, I thought about when they were building Solomon's temple. It says that they cut the stones at the quarry exactly to fit. And they brought them from the quarry to the temple site, and so that there was never a sound of a hammer or chisel on the stone at the temple site. It was in quietness as they just lifted that stone into that place to fit exactly like it was supposed to be. And so that's what God is saying. I've got you all picked out to go in exact the right spot in my kingdom's work. Exactly. Now, notice some things about this verse. God has good thoughts toward you. God is not saying, man, I just can't wait to zap him. I just can't wait to zap her. I just can't wait to slap them upside of the head for doing wrong. It bugs me that how many times I was told as a kid, you know, God's going to get you for that. No, God has good thoughts toward us. And he also says God's thoughts toward us are not for evil. It just saddens me that in recent weeks I've heard several people saying, I just don't know why God put this bad thing on me. The Bible says every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. And God gives us good things and the devil gives us bad things. And boy, that's a, talk about false news. If the devil can get you believing that God made you sick and God wrecked your car and God broke your arm and God did all of this stuff, then boy, the devil has got good publicity. Now, it's a lie. God gives us good things. And Jeremiah here says, God has good thoughts. God has what? He wants to give us peace. Don't we all need peace? God doesn't want to give us evil. And God wants to give us, in the King James, it says an expected end. It wants to give you hope. Wants to give you hope. In other words, God wants you looking forward to better days ahead. Things may look dark right now, but the sun's coming up. Things may not be just like we want them right now, but there's blessings that are coming. And that little verse has been a blessing to a lot of folks over the last few years that it's suddenly become popular to quote it. But I imagine there's somebody that's listening to me this morning saying, well, now, Pastor Ed, if that's true, why is it not happening to me? If God's got all of these good thoughts toward me, if God wants to bless me, if God wants to give me hope, how come my personal life looks so dark? Well, nowhere does this verse say that it's going to just happen automatically. How many of you would take an empty basket out and set it under a peach tree and go back 15 minutes and hope that that basket was full of nice ripe peaches? It doesn't just happen automatically. And there's two things that I thought about as I thought about this. Sometimes God has good things for us, but our timetable is not his timetable. You think about it. God comes to Abraham and he says, boy, pack up your family. I'm going to show you a land I'm going to give you. Eventually, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. 25 or 30 years before Isaac was born. You reckon old Abe got discouraged a few times? Now, the Bible says he believed and he kept walking in faith. And you know, God at least told him, says, you know, you just go there and look at the stars. One day you're going to have more kids than the stars. Just count them. And I wonder if sometimes he went out there and says, I don't know, Lord. You see, God's timetable and ours may be different. There are some things that I've been waiting for several years. And I'm saying, well, now, Lord, did I miss you on that? You think about Joseph. Joseph's approximately 16 or 17 years old, and God gives Joseph a revelation that Joseph is going to be elevated to a place of authority, and his brothers and even his parents are going to have to bow down to him. Now, I don't know, Joseph may have delayed the plan of God by running out and saying, hey guys, hey brothers, I got something I want to tell you. One of these days you guys are going to bow down to me. You reckon that did much for sibling rivalry? Probably not. But you see, Joseph had to overcome angry brothers, murderous brothers, brothers willing to sell him into slavery. Joseph had to overcome a seductive wife of his boss. The lies of that wife when Joseph wouldn't go along. And then when he got thrown into prison, he had to go 2 more years because of the forgetfulness of those king's servants that were there, the Pharaoh's servants. And it was something like 13 years from the time God gave Joseph the revelation. And Joseph finally being elevated to the place of second in command in Egypt, only second only to Pharaoh. God had good plans for Joseph. God used Joseph to bless the Egyptians. God used Joseph to bless his family. God used Joseph to bless all the people in the Near East. But it didn't happen automatically. It didn't happen without opposition. And it didn't happen 30 minutes after Joseph woke up from that first dream. God has good plans for us. Sometimes we have to wait for those plans to come into fruition. You think about Daniel. And God reveals some things to Daniel, and Daniel goes to fasting and praying. And finally, after several weeks, an angel comes and says, Daniel, God sent me the very moment that you started praying. But there was a spiritual battle in the heavenly realm. And then another angel had to come so that I could break through and come and share God's answer with you. Sometimes there are spiritual battles that we don't begin to understand before the manifestation of God's good blessing for us. God has good things for us. And we wait for them. We do our part. But God's timetable is not always ours. There's another thing in addition to the timetable And that has to do with our faith. You think God had good plans for Israel? They're down there in Egypt. They're making brick. God says, hey, I got a promised land up here for you. I got a land flowing with milk and honey. I'm going to perform 10 plagues that's going to knock the socks off of those Egyptians and set you free. When you get to the Red Sea and it looks like you're all going to be drowned or get killed, I'm going to just divide it, let you walk across. I'm going to drown the Egyptian army, and you're going to do it. And in just a few months, they're right there, and God says, right over there is the promised land. Spies go over, they come back, and they say, man, it is fantastic. It's better than God told us it was going to be. It is awesome. Good plans for you. God's good plans. God wants to give it to them. God wants to bless them. But, wait a minute, guys, before you get too excited. There's some big walled cities and some big old giants. Now see, you know, God had already told them, you're going to live in houses you didn't build. You're going to eat food you didn't plant. You're going to eat from trees and vines that you didn't put into the ground. You know, those weren't little huts. God was going to put them in houses that giants, I mean, you know, talking about how high the ceiling is. You know, they talk like Goliath was about 10 feet tall. That's a pretty high ceiling house. That's a pretty big bed. You know, God was going to give them some good stuff. God has good plans for them. What was the snag? Doubt, unbelief, lack of faith. And they said, we'd just rather go back to Egypt. There are many a folk that miss out on the good plans of God because of a lack of faith. God says, here it is. And they reach out. They don't reach out and take it. You think about two verses in the New Testament. You remember right there near the end of before the crucifixion, and Jesus says something like this, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I would have gathered you under my arms like a hen gathers her little chicks, but you would not. Jesus said, I just wanted to love you. I just wanted to bless you. I just wanted to give you some good things. But you wouldn't take them. The Bible says, it's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to salvation. And yet we know that people die and go to hell every day. Hundreds will die and go to hell while we have this service. Think about it. Not because God doesn't have good plans, not because God doesn't have heaven for them, but because they will not receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. How sad. Jeremiah 29:11 is true. God has good plans, plans to bless us, plans to do wonderful things for us. But, one, we have to be willing to work with God's timetable. And two, we have to be willing to walk in faith and to receive. Skip down two verses in Jeremiah 29 to verse 13. And you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Now right there is key. Right there is the key. Seeking the Lord with all of our heart. When God is number one, when we choose Him, when we believe God, you're all that matters. You see, Jeremiah 29:11 promises that God has good things for us. God wants to give those to us. God plans to give those to us. But Jeremiah 29:13 says, will we seek it? Will we look for it? Will we choose it? This is where it comes down to you and me. You remember when Joshua finished up and came to the end of his ministry? He says, folks, you can do what you want to, but for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. He says, I can't speak for the rest of you folks, but what's going on at my house, I'm going to serve the Lord, and I'm going to see that my family serves the Lord. Now, the question that we have to face here is this, and it's serious. Will you, as an individual sitting and listening to me this morning, choose to make Jesus the Lord of your life? Will you seek Him with all of your heart? Seek to know His will and then be willing to do His will. Now, there are people that don't even want to know His will. And there are those that want to know His will with sort of an option. You know, God shows me His will, and if it goes that way and I'm more inclined to go this way, then I'm going to go my way. It doesn't matter what God's will is. That won't work. Do we as individuals make a choice? I will seek the Lord with my whole heart. Nothing else matters. Isn't it interesting when Paul had the encounter with the risen Christ on the road to Damascus, almost immediately he says, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? And Paul did it for the next number of years. It cost him a lot of pain and heartache. But how many thanks do you think Paul gets every day in heaven? People walk up to him and say, you know, I was reading Ephesians and got saved. I was reading Romans and got saved. I was reading Corinthians and got saved. I was reading Philippians and was encouraged. My life was changed as I read Timothy or Thessalonians. Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Paul. What do you want me to do, Lord? And you know, sometimes it will seem like God's will and your will clash. But you want me to tell you a little secret. When you get into God's will, you'll find out it's a lot better than your will. Because He's a lot smarter than you are. Now that may be a revelation of somebody, but He's a lot smarter than we are. And if we choose as individuals to make the will of God most important in our life, if we seek Him with our whole heart, then Jeremiah 29:11 comes true. And it's the same as a family. You dads and moms, you grandparents, do you seek for your family the total will of God? The total will of God. And then, what about a church? It doesn't matter what I want. It doesn't matter what the deacons want. And I know we as Baptists vote, and it doesn't matter what you want either. All that matters is what Jesus wants. We can do what I want and mess up. We can do what the deacons want and mess up. We can do what you vote and mess up. But if we do what Jesus wants, we're going to do it right. And we'll be blessed, and the community will be blessed, and the church will be blessed. You see, Jeremiah says God's got good plans, plans to bless you. Let me read it again. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. And then he says, and you'll seek me and you'll find me when you search for me with all your heart. Now, folks, that's it. That's the key. That's the key. Searching for the Lord with all of our heart. It's easy to make religion or even Christianity a part of our life. You know, you may be in the Lions Club or the Civitan Club or something else. You may play little league ball, or you may be on some other kind of team or whatever. You may join some kind of organization. And each of these things sort of fit into your life. But if you try to do that with a relationship with Jesus, it's really not going to work well. When you make Jesus the center of your existence and everything else is peripheral, Jeremiah 29:11 is going to come true in your life. God has good things for you. God wants to bless you. But you've got to receive them. You've got to receive them. I'm encouraged when I read that. But I'm also reminded, it's not just going to be like sticking an empty basket under a peach tree and hoping that they fall in. I've got to receive what God wants to give me. He has good plans. He had good plans for Israel, but a whole generation missed the promised land. And there are folks today that God, you know, just wants to bless them and bless them and bless them. And they're missing it because they won't reach out and receive it. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes for just a moment? If you're here this morning, you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you feel like you need to do that, would you come? If you need to come to the altar for some reason, would you come? If you look up here for just a moment, if Brother Greg and I'm, since Michael's sitting here on the end, right here are these deacon ballots. If y'all will just hand them out. Now, these aren't really ballots. These are the guys whose names are eligible. If you don't want your name on that list next week when we vote, you best call Miss Jeanette or Mr. Leonard between now and print time. Because we don't, you know, we want men on there who are willing to serve. And if you think that somebody's name was inadvertently left off, if you'll call Leonard, he'll be able to see about that. All right? Be prepared to vote. Start the vote. If there's some ties and everything, then you'll vote next week and then vote again the week after that, if need be. Okay, thank you, guys. All right, let's stand for our benediction. Thank you for coming. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you and give you those Jeremiah 29:11 blessings. May you have the wisdom and the faith to receive them. May the Lord give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.